Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Chris Evans here. Welcome to this week's Best of the Breakfast Show podcast with Sky from Virgin Radio. Coming up, movie maestro Donald Gleeson regales us with stories of co-writing with his bro Brian and starring in their new comedy show on Channel 4, Frank of Ireland. It's brilliant. And I think it might be hilarious. The king of light entertainment, Stephen Mulhern, talks pounding the pavement for the return of, I think, maybe the best thing on telly, In for a Penny, ITV, Saturday nights, 7 p.m. Professor Noel Fitzpatrick tells us all about his evening of virtual live chat, How Animals Save My Life, hosted by none other than Lorraine Kelly. And Dame Ellen MacArthur discusses her incredible charity work helping to rebuild some of the young lives affected by cancer. All of that gold and so much more to come. Now, Dapper Dave, tell us who's the first guest.
He's one of the only people on Earth that connects Harry Potter, Darth Vader and Peter Rabbit. His new sitcom, Frank of Ireland, starts tonight on Channel 4. And here to tell us more is a man that hasn't just got the luck of the Irish, he's got the talent to boot. It's the brilliant Donald Gleeson!
Morning, Donald!
Morning. How you doing?
Very well. How are you?
Very good. Yeah, very good. Nice to be talking to you. Thanks for saying hello.
Donald, I got to tell you, this show, it's off the charts, mate. I mean, I didn't know whether to laugh, to continue hiding underneath the duvet or what. It's awkward. It's fun. So much happens in 23 minutes. I've not seen the second episode, but the first episode, I mean, it's something to behold. You know, we've been discussing it here. We've talked about The Inbetweeners. We've talked about The Office. Other shows that we've just been discussing, Brassic, a bit of Shameless in there, a bit of Father Ted in there. Is this music to your ears, or shall I shut up?
No, that sounds great. You know, there's kind of a long history of sort of sitcoms with very selfish, self-centered main characters trying to bend the world to their will and failing. And I think this is one of them. So yeah, I think it's also one where all the characters around him are kind of just as bad as Frank. So as the series progresses, I think we get more into the failings of everybody else, not just our leads. But yeah, it's all in fun.
It's so mad, isn't it? And your family. So it took me ages to get your name right, Donald. For years, you know this when I've been interviewing you. And now I've just called your brother Brian five times on the radio from 6:30 till now, and it's not Brian, it's Brian, isn't it?
It is Brian. Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, that's correct. But there's a character in the show called Peter Brian, and there's three of us wrote it, and like one of us was calling him Peter Brian for the first, I think, 4 years of writing. So yeah, we get it wrong ourselves, so it's all good.
All right, good. So come on, let's have the big sell from the horse's mouth for people listening. Why should they watch tonight, 10 o'clock? What's it about? The kernel of it, where's the heart, where's the pathos? Every great sitcom has to have a heart. Off you go.
Let me think. Frank is a guy in his 30s living at home with his mom, who's just as sort of messed up as he is. He wants to be a musician, but he can't play music. He's got a best friend who he sort of bullies, an ex-girlfriend who he can't get over, and he's just sort of struggling to get by. He thinks he has it really tough, but actually life has been very good to him, and he just doesn't realize it. So, yeah, and he gets himself into all sorts of scrapes, as you would expect, in the sort of Alan Partridge, Curb Your Enthusiasm sort of way, you know?
And so you and your bro working together, has it happened before? Will it happen again?
Yeah, it's happened a few times before. We've done a play together, we've done short films, we've done films, we've done sort of everything together before. And I would love to do it again. Yeah, he's very, very funny in the show. It's kind of quite a creation that he's sort of come up with. But I loved working with him, yeah. And then the other person who we wrote it with was Michael Maloney, who I've been writing sketches with since I was a teenager almost. And so, yes, the three of us sort of came up with the show together.
Okay, and again, you have a sense of it. Like, when I saw the first episode of Brassic, you get the sense that the gang show on screen is also happening off screen. Might I be right?
Yeah, it was like it was a really tight group of people. You know, everybody in the show is very, very funny. Pam Boyd and Sarah Green, Liz Fitzgibbon, Tom Von Lawler, all these kind of amazing Irish actors, and Pat Short. And then myself and Brian's dad, Brendan Gleeson also pops up as the series progresses towards the end. So it was a really tight group, a very funny group. And yeah, we had an absolute blast making it.
Frank and his mum's dynamic, that's priceless. That's already priceless. How can you do that in the first episode of a brand new show? Already, that is the relationship for me. That is the one to watch.
Yeah, I think that's kind of that's really the heart of the show is Frank and his mum. He sort of lives with her. And it's not a typical mother-son relationship. They're almost more like flatmates, you know, like he kind of wishes that he had the kind of ease that she has in terms of going out and dating people. She's much more comfortable with herself and he's much more uptight. And she's just sort of a live and let live sort of a kind of a hippie sort of a vibe going on. And yeah, she just thinks he's hilarious. She just thinks he's a mess. She kind of likes watching the car crash that is his life.
Well, well done, Donal. I mean, what are the future plans in your mind for this? Six episodes in the bag, six episodes good to go. Streaming on all four on Channel 4 tonight, the first linear episode, 10 p.m. Frank of Ireland. What are your hopes and dreams for the future of this show?
Well, I just hope that people like it, you know. I hope people stick with it and go with it. I think the show really builds as the series progresses, and we're really happy that it really builds to a big climax in the last episode with Brendan turning up, as I said, as a sort of an older version of Frank. And yeah, I think we're really happy with how we sort of wrapped the whole thing around. And we don't know if there'll be more. I think it'll be a bit down the road. We're all quite busy in the meantime, but... we're super happy with what it is at the moment. I just hope people laugh at us. That's all the only reason it exists.
Well, what a lovely side project to have in your back pocket. Awesome. And does your brother, Brian, does he usually sport such a fantastic beard, or was that just for the programme?
God help him, man. He grew it for the programme. Wow. And then we were five weeks into a six-week shoot when we had to shut down, you know, for the pandemic. And so we didn't, you know, it was like 5 months before we got to go back and shoot the last week or two. So Brian had it for all of the summer when he was in lockdown, which I felt so bad for him, man. It was so out of control by the end. Yeah, but yeah, he grows an impressive beard.
Very impressive beard. All right, pal. Love to talk to you, Donald. Please stay in touch and good luck with this. And we'll talk to you about something again soon, I hope.
Looking forward to it, Chris. Thanks so much.
All right, mate. Frank of Ireland tonight, 10 p.m. on Channel 4. It's brand new. It's really, really, really fresh, box fresh. It's very original. It has lots of influences, but I don't think you're going to be disappointed. And I'm still not quite sure whether I found it more funny / hilarious or awkward and cringeworthy. What do you think, Bass?
It's definitely got all of that.
It's got all of it, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, should I be laughing? I'm laughing. Oh, no, I'll stop laughing. I can't stop laughing.
And I was laughing and Caroline was sort of thinking, why are you laughing at that? And then I was thinking, oh, am I a bad person?
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
If you turn the telly on at any time of day, there's a 99% chance you'll see our next guest. The latest series of his smash hit show, In For A Penny, starts tomorrow at 7 p.m. on ITV. And here to tell us more is Mr. Show Business himself. It's the glamour puss that is Stephen Mulhern.
Oh. All right, Stephen.
Yes, good morning.
Look at him, he's back.
This is great.
I know, it feels amazing.
Yeah, it's like... Oh, God, and I still know we can't hug, but if we could, I would hug you all.
Yeah, but we'll take it. We'll take what we can get, and you're here, and you look well, and you're shiny, and you're sparkly, as you always are. Are you ever not?
No, I'm generally like this. I just enjoy peeing around people. I enjoy having a good time.
Yes.
I enjoy life.
Yes. And look, his arms are open, aren't they, Vassos? He literally is one of the most open human beings on the planet. So... In For A Penny. Let's get down to some serious housekeeping straight away, because you know, and if you don't, you must be a new listener. You know I love In For A Penny. It's my family's favourite show. It's our favourite show. League of Their Own is number two. All the Top Gears, even the ones with me on, are number three. But Stephen's In For A Penny, number one, all day long, Steve, all day long. And it's back tomorrow.
It is back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. I hope everyone's ready for it. And we did do it during the pandemic, but the games are better.
So you grew.
Yeah.
You looked at the stimulus, you looked at the response, you created space in between, and you gave birth to showbiz grace and wisdom.
Oh, well, I was worried at first, but then we grabbed it and we ran with it, and it is a joy.
So we can look forward to, this is 7 o'clock tomorrow night, ITV, we can look forward to the return of sausage roll, a gelato fun, pound pong, pedestrian question, and my own favourite, guest the weight of your case.
Do you weigh your case before you go away? Do you weigh your case?
Well, I don't, because I barely take anything with me. My wife probably does all that kind of literally sort of bureaucratic heavy lifting.
Some people probably get by the sort of scales, the digital ones. Do you?
No.
I sometimes have to, because I bring so many toiletries and makeup, and that's the really heavy stuff.
So you'd be good at the game, because you'd have a knowledge, self-knowledge, but some people have no idea. Some people forget what they put in their case. Like the guy tomorrow night, I'm telling you now, he had cheese, ham. He's going away to, I think he was going to Spain. And I'm like, hang on a second.
That's what my mum used to do.
But they must sell cheese and ham in Spain.
It's not the same. It's not the same as, my mum would say, it's not the same as northern cheese or ham. It's like northern humour. That's why Peter Kay's the funniest man in the world. Northern humour, Chris. The rest of the country don't get this. They do, mum. That's why he sells his tours out. They definitely get it. Everybody definitely, no, it's not. It's just us northerners. That's why he's so funny. No, mum, he sells arenas out all over the blimmin' world. Anyway, back to your point. So it's guess the weight of the case. That's the initial game. But of course, it means you can open the case and have fun with the contents. Mm-hmm. And boy, do you.
Well, it's just that thing, is that I think sometimes, you know, unlike that bloke that you'll see tomorrow, he knew what he packed. But some people do forget. And it's just bizarre that, like, tea bags. But in terms of, there's only one time where we've been caught out with it. Mm. And it was a guy that had, and he had his wife and he had his daughter who was about 17, 18. And he had toys in his case.
Yes.
Not toys for, you know, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I take one of them out, and obviously I'm not going to, so I start messing about with it. And at one point, he quite sternly says to me, I think we've had enough fun with that, haven't we? Hang on, mate. You're
taking it away. By the way, if this is the most fun you think you can have with it, you've bought the wrong toy. You've been sold a pup.
But wouldn't you say to someone that you supposedly know that is going to go through your case, I don't want to be part of this game.
Yeah.
I'd rather just get on the plane.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he was probably thinking, look, if he goes through the first layer, it looks like a busy show. First layer, you know, I'll probably still get my 80 quid. He'll never be any the wiser. You're thinking, no, it's all in the edit, pal. He's going to be going forever till something funny happens. This guy has never come close to working with anybody who's ever smelt TV in the past, let alone whatever else might be going on. Hey, right, for people who don't know, your take on sausage roll.
Oh, sausage roll. This, okay, so going back to we had to work out was games that people could do socially distanced, or if they're in a bubble. So the idea is somebody lays on the floor, mm-hmm. you lay a sausage roll at their feet, then the other person has to just use their nose, tongue or chin to roll the sausage roll up their entire body and get it into their mouth.
If it drops,
game over. The best story of this was we had two people. Remember, I've explained the rules to them, mm-hmm. so everybody's aware.
Yep.
And I go, so what's your name? But I said, Dave. Okay, Dave, good to see you. Dave, who are you? I'm Elizabeth. Okay, great. And how do you know each other? He went, that's my mum. And you go, okay, you know the rules of the game, don't you? You need to roll a sausage
roll. They've got to be related to the guy with the toys. They're all from the same family.
But this is, honestly, Chris, we've spoken about it so many times. I know I said it as I walked in. Thank you so much for having me back. But it's just that thing where people like to have a good time. And I think maybe that's why this is the best series so far, because people just thought, do you know what, let's just go for it.
So tomorrow evening, 7 p.m, In for a Penny, ITV, you got Gelato Fun, you got Guess the Weight of Your Own Case, you got the sausage roll,
you got Pump It Up, and you've got obviously the In for a Penny big final.
Okay.
Stopwatch game.
And Pound Pong.
And Pound Pong,
Don't forget Pound Pong, where the video.
Honestly, thank you so much. And thank you for the deal, sorting out the deal here at Virgin.
Okay, and we got the other deal. We got the side hustle.
Oh,
we got the main hustle.
Guys,
we got it all going on, Stephen.
Can you see the tears, Vassos? Can you? I need these tissues.
They're antibacterial.
It's been the best day of my life.
Thanks, Stephen.
Oh, thank you so much.
Love you.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
He's a world-famous friend to the animals with a fantastic story to tell, and you can hear him tell it. The live virtual event, How Animals Save My Life, is happening on Monday. So if you want to see a super vet talking about super pets via the super internet, then listen up to the one and only Professor Noel Fitzpatrick.
Hey, Noel.
Well done, Dave. Well done. You have excelled yourself. I came in the studio and I said he's now the Drake of hip-hop.
He
He really is. He totally is.
You love his intros, don't you?
I love it. I made him an intro after he gave me the last intro. I sent it to his phone.
I remember.
The only one it's ever made. It's Everybody true. Who comes on, it must be a prerequisite. You got to make Dapper Dave a jingle. He needs a little more love.
But you know that we play that on the air, but you were off your...
Oh, was I? I have no idea.
No, I think you were... Weren't you on pretty strong meds at the time?
Oh, yeah.
Because you'd broken your neck.
I'd broken... That's right. Did I miss my own jingle because I was high on opioids?
So, and then you made him one.
Yeah.
And then we played it on the air.
Oh, you did?
Of course we did. You were on the phone. That. You were on the other end of the phone at the time.
I have no idea. I have no recollection. Although you do ring me when I'm under the influence of opioids, because when I had my ankle operated on, you also rang me in hospital. I think you quite enjoy...
Well, no, I also quite like you. And I'm worried about you. It's called it's called caring for your friends.
You are, and you've been brilliant lately. Thank you. It's been a tough time, so thank you, Chris. I really appreciate
it. How much do you want to talk about the last few weeks?
Well, you're the boss, man. It's your radio studio.
No, it's up to you. It's up to you.
Whatever you want.
Okay, so you had COVID first time around. When was that?
March last year.
So about a year ago.
Yeah.
But then you got it second time.
I did.
Tell us about the second time you got it.
Did not see that coming. You're in your flow. You're doing your stuff. Hilariously, the funny thing about surgical masks, because I've got a surgical mask on here in the studio, is dogs can't recognize you. So I can't interact with them. So that's the worst thing about COVID for me, because I'm in my office anyway.
Right.
I'm in the hospital anyway. Yeah. You don't get exposed. Doesn't change that much. But you're seeing public and people are coming in all the time. And for whatever reason, I contracted again. Must have been a new strain. And I'll tell you what. Wow. So this one just kind of paralyzes your muscles, and it's like a war being fought inside your body, and you're lying there in bed paralyzed because you can't move your muscles or your joints, and it's very scary. And on day 2-3 when I called the ambulance, I thought, you know what, and by the way, I should say a lot of people, God bless them, have had it much worse than me, so I am not in any for one second complaining, but I am saying just be careful. This is a horrible disease. I'm still going through like the fatigue of, you know, 4 weeks on. And I was out of it for 2 weeks, just lying there thinking, if it all ended today, what have I done? And what did it mean? And that's a lot, actually, about what this event next Monday night is about. What does it mean? What, you know, we might only be here till tomorrow. What does it mean? And animals have got us through lockdown, and my two cats and my dog were there. So what I felt was an intense sense of vulnerability. And I think that is what people are feeling during lockdown, a kind of collective, it's a collective humbling, I think, of everybody. And we all realize we're in it together, because I felt so connected to all of the people at the practice. Some of them had had it. Some of the clients had had it. I got it. But you never really know what it's like to stand in another person's shoes until you're in their shoes.
Yeah.
And then when you're there, you think, okay, well, I might not make it. I might. There's a lot of people that are worse off than me, and you pray for them and you think, I really, really, really hope that the world recognizes this interconnection when this is gone, that we are all together, because this virus doesn't care what color, race, creed you are. And in that context, and you have nothing else to think about for the best part of 2 weeks.
Because you couldn't move, could you? You physically couldn't move.
It took like a 2 minute effort to physically move your hand to, you know, you couldn't go to the toilet because you couldn't get out of bed.
Yeah.
And
I mean, you said other people have had it worse, but it doesn't really get, other than being hospitalized and being in intensive care, it was as bad as it gets almost, wasn't it?
Well, look, I'm not one for sensationalizing things, but yes, for me it was. And I don't want to become a poster child for it, but at the end of the day, what I would take from it is, as we now come out of lockdown, and by the way, thanks for having me on the show. What's a hilarious thing is that I was on the first guest on your show after the last lockdown. So let's not make a habit
of it. Doesn't bode well, does
it? Let's not make a habit of it, but I'm delighted just to be out. But what I would say is people, we tend to have this exaltation, this exuberance about the end of lockdown. And we think that human beings tend to have a finite line in the sand. I see this in my consulting room every day. Doc, will my dog make it? Well, you know what, Mary? I don't have a crystal ball. But and you look at what's happening in Brazil this morning on the news, where they have it really bad. Unless we collectively come to the realization that we live in a global world, we're not going to beat this.
And for me, as a veterinarian whose whole life mission is one medicine, if we don't realise that we're related to animals now, when are we ever going to realise it?
I agree. And the planet as well.
And the planet. Yeah. And I've, you know, my whole thing and this thing on Monday night I'm doing is about how we're integrated, how animals got us through it. How do you get through anything? How the crisis affected me and what I thought about it. But importantly, how we're all related. And to draw a line on it, what I would say is this. Because humans have a line in the sand, we need to look forward to something or otherwise we become totally despondent. Mm. We think, oh, end of lockdown, great. We go out and you can have 400 people there. Yes, you hopefully, please God, we'll all be out exalting a car fest or whatever it's going to be in the future. But respect is the thing that I've, humble respect for the smallest, minute prick in the bubble of life. And that gives you respect for your fellow man, your fellow animal. And social distance, for me, wasn't physically about distance. It was about closeness. It was about how much I yearned a hug, how much I yearned for the dog to see my face so he could recognize. It was hilarious. Yesterday, I pulled down my mask for a dog I'd seen five times. He didn't know who I was. As soon as I pulled down my mask, oh my God, it's Noel. Hilarious.
Honestly, did that actually happen?
And it was really? A dog called Yogi
right.
that had cancer in his leg that I couldn't operate on because I had to delay his cancer operation because I got sick myself. And yes, last night, 8 p.m., his daddy, who's called Steve, came in and brought Yogi home. And Yogi saw my face for the first time in like 8 days because I was alone with Yogi. And he was delighted with himself. And so to draw a line under that, yes, I had a bad. Yeah, I thought I was going to die. Yeah, we're all an inch away from it. But let's be amazingly excited about today. When yeah. I got up this morning, I thought, wow, isn't it brilliant that I'm here today? And you know what? I have a responsibility for everybody around me. And that's the important message, I think, to take out of COVID.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, this is the Best of the Breakfast Show podcast with Sky from Virgin Radio. We've heard from three utterly magnificent guests already, but would you believe it? There's still more to come. The always hilarious Joe Pasquale takes us through his upcoming tour of the comedy theatre classic April in Paris. Impressionist extraordinaire John Colshaw doffs his cap and celebrates the life and works of legendary Thunderbird and Captain Scarlet genius Gerry Anderson. Country Files' Matt Baker dons his wellies and mucks in with news of his highly personal four-part documentary, Our Farm in the Dales. And the voice of F1, David Crofty Croft, gets us all pumped up ahead of the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix live and exclusive on Sky Sports F1. All of that is about to happen right now, so relax and enjoy all those lovely folks having a good old natter dapper. Dave, who's first?
It's time to get back out on the water, and who better to lead the charge than our next guest? The Ellen MacArthur Cancer Trust has exciting plans for 2021 that might just include a car fest or two. Here to tell us more is the lady whose name's above the door. It's the incredible Dame Ellen MacArthur!
Hello, Dame Ellen.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you on this beautiful day?
And isn't it a beautiful day? Much more cheerful thanks to the sunshine, I have to say.
My goodness me, it's absolutely good. Are you at home?
I am. I'm on the Isle of Wight, yes, where it is also sunny.
I was going to say, what does it look like today there? But it's unbelievable, isn't it?
Bright blue skies. Yeah, it's really, really nice. And a little bit of a frost, but that's all burnt off already.
Right. Dame Ellen, tell us about the Ellen MacArthur Trust. First of all, what does it do?
Well, the Trust is all about inspiring young people to believe in a better future, living beyond and through cancer. It's about helping those young people who've been diagnosed with cancer, going through treatment with cancer, to really re-engage with their future and put them amongst other young people who are going through something similar. And the effect that that has is just incredible. You know, you've met young people who've sailed with the Cancer Trust. They are the most inspirational young people you can meet. They're just you know, full of life, and to see that transformation happen from that actually fairly shy young person mm-hmm. who's just finished treatment through to that young person who doesn't stop talking all the way home is just absolutely wonderful. And we see that time and time again, and we weren't able to get on the water last year, and we are so excited that this year we'll be able to take young people on the water, either for a one-day trip or, if they've been with us before, for a five-day longer cruising. And Carfest has had a massive impact in helping us do that. So thank you.
Well, you're more than welcome. And there's more coming your way this year, as much as we can wrestle from the arms of the lovely patrons who come and join us at Carfest North, South and Retro this year. And for the last 10 years now for Carfest North and South. So when I met some of the young folks after they'd finished there a week with you, and it was all purely by accident, wasn't it, that I bumped into them. I literally bumped into them in the water, and then they have a barbecue on the Thursday afternoon when they have a reflection on the week and their new friends there who will become lifelong friends for them, you know, and it was profoundly moving. I can't tell you, you know how moved I was by the whole thing. And so it really works, and it's simple if you know how. But before they experience a day or a week with you guys, they feel so isolated, and it's no reflection on their family or the people who've been giving them care. They just feel like it's just them. And of course, when the first thing that happens when they arrive is they look at other kids, they go, ah, it's not just me.
And I think what makes it even more important now is that the isolation that you feel through cancer is terrible. You know, and we've seen this for the last 14 years working with these young people, but then put COVID over the top. Oh. And it's been so, so tough for those families. You know, our approach with putting sailing on this year was softly, softly. And we had so many conversations with parents who said, you know, we really need you. You know, we really need our young people to engage, to do something on the water, to get out there. It was actually, you know, very much a pull from them, which is, you know, sad but great to hear in a way.
It is definitely a double-edged sword of joy and despair. There's no question about that. Now, I know that conversations and negotiations in what you can do and remain COVID compliant at the same time is still ongoing, but things are going to happen. What are your hopes and aspirations for the next few months?
Well, the next few months are planning for our summer, because our main sailing activities in the summer. And we're going to be offering Taste of the Trust trips for young people who've not sailed with us before. We've got 10 locations around the UK. Some will be on the coast in yachts. Some will be in outdoor activity centres. And they're going to be in England, Scotland, Northern Ireland and the Welsh borders. And then for those young people who have sailed with us before, all being well, fingers crossed, everyone has everything crossed this year, we'll be running five-day sailing trips for them. And actually, one thing that really has changed things is, you know, the lateral flow tests. The ability to test people before they come on the boat.
Yep.
And so fingers crossed, if it's all okay, safety is our number one priority. We'll be getting back out on the water and seeing all those smiles again, which will be game changing.
Yeah. And kids, life changing, forever life changing. And kids are getting really good at lateral flow tests. My son Noah, even though they're on Easter break still, he has to do one every 2 or 3 days. And he's so good at it, he just goes and does it now in the corner. So they're leading the way there as well. So, Ellen, if people want to support you or get involved, what can they do? And by the way, I urge you all to do this, because this will make you feel like a superstar.
Come to Carfest.
that would do as well.
Visit. Yeah. And actually learn about what we do and who we are and how we work and meet some of the young people. Because, you know, as you experienced, Chris, it's game changing. Mm. When we came in 2019 and Dan and Sophie spoke in the inspiration tent, it was a moment. It was a real moment. And I think people really, you know, engaged and understood what those young people have been through. But also our website, ellenmacarthurcancertrust.org, and social media, we're on Twitter, we're at EMC Trust.
Yeah, and if you're thinking, you know, if you're contemplating, you're wondering about a purpose at the moment, you know, it's a sunny day, it's a great day to make a positive decision, or a few of them today, you know, think about what's going to happen this summer, where are you going to be, what you have to offer, what the restrictions are on us going overseas, and what you can do here instead. And it's a great ship to jump on board, isn't it, Ellen?
The positive ship, and to kind of, I think, you know, for all of us, not just young people going through cancer, it's been a really tough time, tough for everyone in different ways, in different situations. But it does make you realise that you have to focus on the good things and the positive things and the things you can do, not the things you can't.
Good. All right. Ellen MacArthur, cancertrust.org is where you need to go. Dame Ellen, thanks so much for being on the show. And I can't wait to see you as soon as that is allowed.
Yes. Thank you.
Cheers, Els Bells. All right. I mean, it's sort of allowed now. I'm not doing anything else later on, are you, Vas?
No, I'm not going to
the pub.
Should
we nip down to the Isle of Wight and see how...
With five members of the team.
But apparently, you know, I mean, we could try and get two tables together.
Well, my dad's on the Isle of Wight, and Annie, and there's you and me and Ellen, and we've got one space for one more.
Take tomorrow off.
Done.
Yeah, we've done the book day thing. Yeah.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
John Coulshaw is go.
Good morning, John.
Oh, what an intro. What an intro.
The finest intro
I've ever been introduced by.
Good man. I thought you might enjoy that, John. How are you, buddy? How's lockdown been for you? Have you been sat in a pub or had your hair cut yesterday?
Well, I've sort of got into the habit of cutting my own hair. I've sort of learned how to do it.
This is genius, because this is what I tried this very at the very beginning. I think we have quite similar sort of curly, incredibly handsome hair.
And, oh, I see.
And, I tried myself in the early days of lockdown and looked awful. Looked like a microphone that hadn't been used for years. How did you nail it? With scissors or?
I just had a go at just trimming a little bit off every 2 or 3 days, just a small amount.
Really?
Wherever a bit was sort of sticking out, a bit, you know, bedhead style, I'd just trim it off with kitchen scissors. And after about 2 months, it sort of became self-regulating. I kind of learned how to do it.
Are you serious? Are you really serious?
Yes, it's one of those new skills you learn. I've learned how to cut my own hair.
That's genius. And so you just look in the mirror and go, that bit's a little bit longer than it needs to be. If I'm honest, and I can't believe I'm admitting this on national radio, I've done this with eyebrows before as well. When the old brows get a little long, I think, I'll have a little go at those. And I just you know what I mean? And Amelia, I don't know if you agree, but they look lovely today, don't they?
They do. They're very fetching.
Thanks very much. Thank you. I mean, obviously, your industry has been affected by lockdown. Has it been tough for you, John, or have you enjoyed the downtime?
Well, a little bit of time to reflect is probably good for us all in a way. And it's forced us to be very adaptable. We've certainly learned how to do things online and over all of those connecting networks and so on that are second nature to us now.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of audiobooks, a lot of sci-fi audiobooks, of which the new Thunderbirds ones have been amongst them. So, yes, it's just sort of shifted the focus, and it's really made us appreciate the sense of everything just slowly, steadily coming back in now, that tide coming back in. Lovely, hopeful feeling coming back.
Oh, isn't it? It really is. It really is. So, John, obviously the reason you're on is to talk about International Gerry Anderson Day. Now, if I'm totally honest, John, not because of when I was born, but me and my sister watched Grange Hill and Blue Peter as kids. I wasn't a Thunderbirds kid. It wasn't because I'd had nothing against Thunderbirds or other Gerry Anderson shows, but I just wasn't into it. And then yesterday, because I was chatting to you today, I got totally lost in a Gerry Anderson YouTube hole, and I'm in, mate. I am in. The science behind Gerry Anderson's work was remarkable. I had no idea.
I mean, it really was, and the spirit of it goes on. Just that imagination, the imagination of the Super Mario Nation, you could say, that those puppets, which had a depth, that they seemed to have, you know, in the eyes, they weren't just painted on, but that they had a sort of a depth and a charm and a lovability to them, as well as being very cool and cute at the same time, and put those into universes created by Gerry Anderson's imagination. You know, we know that the likes of Elon Musk himself, when he was a kid, he watched Gerry Anderson, and you see how, you know, that influence kind of has played out. The rockets of this era are starting to look much like the imagination of Gerry Anderson.
And all this was happening in a warehouse in Slough with his wife and a team, a small team.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine just walking through the door and seeing all of those universes there before you.
Yeah.
In Slough, of all places. but yes, and all the shows that Gerry Anderson did, some of them live action as well. We think of Space 1999 or UFO. They had that sort of Anderson imagination across them as well. Everything just photoshopped up. The colour, the crispness, the sense of science fiction, I think Gerry Anderson's imagination was our first Instagram filter across the whole world, you know.
Can I be so bold to say, as a new Gerry Anderson fan, that I'm an earlier days fan of his work? So would it Fireball XL5? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Big fan of Fireball. Loved it. Is that okay to say that I'm a fan of his earlier work?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I mean, that hooked everybody in. Mm. So many people talk about, you know, not just Fireball XL5, but Supercar, these sorts of things, the precursors to Thunderbirds and Stingray and so on. So, yes, it's there's so many different facets in all of these worlds to appeal.
And John, how will you be celebrating International Gerry Anderson Day tomorrow?
I think I will probably talk like Jeff Tracy the entire day.
Brilliant.
To give it a very heroic feeling. That's what I'm going to do.
So let's get into impressions, because I would love to be 10% of the impressionist that you are. And you know Boris, go to work, don't go to work. It's about as close as I've ever got.
I think that's standing. I think what we have seen there is a splendid rendition of Bother. Which I think the real Bother should aspire to, and get it. Bah, a bit of Latin, and you're well away with that one. Bah.
Wonderful. And Donald, how's Donald Trump these days, in his quieter days?
I think he's very quiet. I think a lot of people miss me. I'm wondering what I should do. Maybe I ought to release a country music album. Maybe I just got to try some different forms of art. That's what I got to do. Yes, it is extremely quiet without him. Perhaps perhaps that's a relief.
I think it probably is. We all needed a break from him as well. We needed a break from life. John, what an absolute pleasure to get you on the show. International Gerry Anderson Day tomorrow. GerryAnderson.co.uk. Thanks for coming on, John. Great to have you on. And look, enjoy coming out of lockdown and enjoy your life getting busy again.
Yeah, my pleasure, Sam. Great to talk to you. And hopefully we can be over the microphones in real studios once again before too long.
Wonderful stuff. All right, cheers, John. Take care. Bye now. Bye.
Take care, Sam. Thank you. Bye, mate. Bye.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
He famously knows a song that'll get on your nerves, but he also knows how to bring a comedy theatre classic to life. He stars in the new tour of the brilliant April in Paris from next month. So, ladies and gentlemen, please say bonjour to the monsieur of mirth, that is the wonderful Joe Pasquale.
Ah, bonjour, Joe.
Morning, Sam. How are you?
I'm all right. Il y a sept personnes dans la piscine. J'aime la musique discothèque. That's all I've got.
Well, I haven't got a clue what any of that means. I'm going to Paris in the play, but I ain't got a word of it.
Do you have to speak French in April in Paris? Not at all.
Thankfully not. It was written for two northern people, right? John Gubb's a famous John Gubb play.
Yes.
And he wrote it for two northern people. Obviously, I'm not a northerner. And at the beginning of rehearsals, I tried it in a northern accent, and I don't know what it sounded like. It just wasn't even English that was coming out of me. So we decided, John thankfully rewrote it for a northerner and a southerner, because Sarah Earnshaw plays Bet in it, is naturally from Leeds, so her accent just fits it perfectly. And he rewrote it for me, so it fits in really well.
And so how much rewriting was required? I mean, let's go back a step, because for those who don't know, can you tell us the story of April in Paris?
Yes, basically, it's the thing is, I'll give you a bit more of a background than that. John Gubb is one of the most famous, a lot of people don't know John, if they don't know who he is, he's one of the most performed playwrights ever. There's Shakespeare's the most performed playwright, then it goes to Alan Bennett, this is in the UK, and then the third one is John Gubb. Yeah. And he wrote this about 20 years ago for him and his wife. And it's basically, it's a two-handed play. And it's a couple that have been married for over 20 years, and they don't get on anymore. They still love each other, they just don't know how to respond to each other anymore. And she wins. He's been out of work for a very long time, so it's a bit like this lockdown period. So they've been in the house together for such a long period of time. She wins a little holiday for a weekend in Paris, and basically they try and reconcile over this weekend. And if anybody's been in a long-term relationship, you'll recognise it. It's one of the funniest things I've ever done. It's also very poignant and very moving. And it's a one-act play. It goes over about 75, 80 minutes. And by the end of it, you sit there with your hand in your mouth going, oh, please don't say that, because he's going to say that. If you say that, he'll say that. And you recognise the relationship all the way through it.
I really want to ask you if they're reconciled, but obviously I can't ask. That gives it all away.
This is the whole thing. That's exactly what, yeah. The end of it, going, are they going to stay together? Are they going to go? What's going to happen here? And it's really funny. It sounds really dark, and it's not. It's very light. It's very funny, and it's very loving as well.
So this is a dream come true for you, because you've always wanted to perform a John Gopper play.
Oh, yes. Ever since I saw Bouncers, which was a long time ago now, but the biggest thing about this, this is the first one of the first plays on the road, you know, when we were allowed to, you know, Boris made it illegal to put on a show 14 months ago. So to get out there on the very first day we were allowed to is going to be, it's not just a great thing to do this play. It's a great thing just to get on the stage and get audiences into the theatre again.
And how's that been, Joe? How did it work with rehearsals? And obviously you got together. Or did you? Yeah. Was it on Zoom? You got together.
Well, yeah, basically during the first ease of lockdown last September, we was rehearsing. No, we were open in September. And then he locked it down again in October. So once that all opened up again for December, we were going to open up in January. And so we rehearsed in that period. And then they shut it again. And so we thought, oh, no, this is the third time there. So hopefully, fingers crossed, he keeps to his word on this roadmap. And we get to open on the 17th of May. And I think, the way things are going, I think we are going to be there. It's very exciting just to get out. I haven't worked for over a year. I did decking this weekend, Sam.
Dave told decking. Me that.
This is proper show business work, decking, isn't it?
Because Dapper Dave came in to tell me that he asked you what you're going to do. What was the first thing you do out of lockdown?
Yeah.
And expecting you to say, well, I'm going to go to the pub, I'm going to go to the gym. Yeah. Because you're in terrific shape, aren't you, Joe? I've seen your six-pack. I've seen your six-pack all over.
Well, the thing is, I didn't want to get fat over this period of time because my next-door neighbour, Peachy Pete, you've got Dapper Dave, I've got Peachy Pete. Yeah. Well, you don't get to know your neighbours normally, not in the way you do, say hello to them over the fence. Yeah. Over the past year, they've been so good to me. And he's a great big fat bloke. And of course, over the weekend, he's a real meticulous builder bloke. Yeah. And we did this decking over the weekend. He's so brilliant at it. But of course, he's wears his jeans under his belly and they just kept falling down. And you realise you don't really get to know your neighbours that well. But it's been, so I'm going to stain my decking today.
You're going to stain your decking? How big is it? How big is it? Is it straight off the back? Joe, I'm literally building a deck in 3 days' time. We're putting new doors in. We're putting new patio doors in this week. And then I'm going to build a deck off the back of it.
Are you going to do it yourself?
I am, but I quite like handyman stuff like that. I quite enjoy wood, working with wood. But one thing is essential is to get the deck the same level as your kitchen floor or whatever it's flowing out from. So it just flows, Joe. So it flows.
Yeah, I know it does, yeah.
Mine
came off my garage, so it's not indoors, so it's okay.
Your decking comes off your garage. Why have you got decking off the back of your garage?
Well,
doesn't sound very romantic.
I can't be trying to tell you this over the radio. I'm trying to explain it to you. I'm not a builder as such. That's just where it is. Can we just leave it there where it is?
Yeah, that'll do.
Explain it.
Okay.
It's too much this time in the morning. But the other thing, I was told that you get rats under decking nowadays as well. I only told that after I built the decking.
Yeah,
right?
you can, but you have to close up all the holes and just don't drop your food down. You only get rats under decking because you tend to eat the food on it and the food drops down. Just don't drop food on the decking.
I won't drop food. And then that's the answer. I won't do that at all enough.
Joe, I cannot wait to do this. So listen, these are the dates we've got so far, friends, and obviously it's all a bit strange opening. Tell me how it works in the theatre, because it's a socially distanced performance.
So basically, because there's only two people on stage, so it's easy to keep socially distance on that. So there's only, I can't remember what the percentage is, but there's a very lower percentage of audience in that can get into the auditorium. So they're socially distant seat-wise and all that sort of stuff. And because it's a one-act play, there's no interval, so they don't have to cross over, go into the bar and all that sort of stuff. And we've got, I think we're 5 or 6 weeks in at the moment. We're starting Coventry, but a load more dates are coming in. So hopefully it's going to run for the rest of the year. We start in Coventry, and then we go to Hull, Chesterfield, I think Nottingham.
Wellingborough. You've got Wellingborough on the 6th of June
well,
and then Nottingham.
Yeah.
Theatre Royal.
We've got loads of other ones coming in, yeah.
Wonderful stuff. Joe, I could talk to you for hours, mate. What an absolute pleasure having you on. Thank you so much. April in Paris, 17th of May to the 19th of June. April in Paris, live.co.uk to get your tickets. Joe, you don't need my luck, but best of luck with everything. Lovely having the show.
Thank you, Sam. Good luck with your decking this week as well.
Dude, thank you. I might pop round to yours for a bit of advice. Have a great day, Joe.
Okay.
All right.
Cheers, lots of love.
Cheers, mate.
Bye now.
Bye.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Our next guest knows better than most that you can take the boy out of the farm, but you can't take the farm out of the boy. His new documentary series, Our Farm in the Dales, continues this Wednesday on More 4. He's not a butcher. He's not a candlestick maker, but he is a Matt Baker.
Hey! Matt Baker, morning, Matt.
Good morning. I enjoyed that intro. Thank you.
No, I'm glad you did. Any broody photos of you on Instagram today, Matt, we can look forward to?
No. I might pop one up with a little lamb. You never know.
That would win.
That would win. I think a lamb would win over a baby.
Yes, quite broody.
So, Matt, we're speaking to you live from a farm. Tell us exactly where the farm is.
Yes, we're up in the Durham Dales. So we're 1,000 feet above sea level, and we've got a bit of a break in the weather at the moment. So it's quite nice here. We've been having lambing storms, which are basically when it's sunny, but you get a bit of snow at the same time. But all is good, a little bit chilly. But other than that, it's a glorious day. Calm.
So there's a reason that Matt is on a farm, and he's been on a farm for a while, and he's going to be on a farm for a lot longer. Matt, can we go back into your childhood, and can you tell us about your childhood, where you lived, where you grew up, and how your life was from sort of 10 years old onwards?
Yeah, so I lived a very kind of practical lifestyle, to be honest with you, just out all the time, out on the farm and learning life in that way, really. I mean, school was a little bit of an inconvenience at times. It sort of got in the way, but to be honest with you, I had a weird upbringing because I was a gymnast as well. I was a British champion gymnast when I was around that age, and so when I wasn't in the gym, I was out on the farm and then filling in the gaps at school and what have you. But one thing led to another, and bizarrely I ended up on Blue Peter, and then had 8 fantastic years on Blue Peter. Country File came along, The One Show came along, and not long after I said that I was, you know, going to leave The One Show, my dad rang me up and said, your mum's had this really bad accident down in the sheep pens, and she's ended up in hospital. So I rushed back, obviously, straight away back to the farm and what have you, because mum's the shepherdess. It's not like my dad runs the farm at all, it's all my mum. And she basically smashed her leg. She just got kind of knocked over by some of the sheep in there, and she ended up sort of in a bit of a bad way. She ended up having to have a total knee replacement and what have you. And I mean, I've said how high up we are. We're a hill farm, and when you have a knee replacement and stuff like that, it means that you need to look at the infrastructure of the farm and the way that it's been run and what have you. And so we had to make some pretty big changes and sit down as a family and have a big old chat about how we were going to make it sustainable to go forward. And because mum, there was no way that mum wanted to stop farming. But basically, she was breeding Hampshire down sheep, which are from the county of Hampshire, from kind of the rolling hills of the south. And really, it takes a lot of care and attention to get them through the winter time when you're this far up north. So we decided we were going to stop, you know, focusing on them, get some hill breeds that were going to be able to cope a lot better and fend for themselves. So, yeah, we've been doing some pretty big changes. We've been off all around the UK getting these breeds that are hardier and making some big changes to the farm. And we've been filming it all in this kind of documentary series. And people seem to have really enjoyed it, you know?
Well, this is one of the things I wanted to ask you. Why are certain sheep easier to look after than others?
Well, so you've got, basically, we have county breeds in the UK that are kind of bred for the landscape of that particular county. Yeah. And so you'll get thicker, heavier sheep that can cope well and want really lush grass. And then you get things like Herdwicks, which are native to the Lake District, or Cheviots, which are the Scottish borders, that can fend for themselves a lot better. They can nibble on grass that isn't so nutritious, and they can cope on mountainsides and stuff like that. And they'll lamb outside and all that kind of stuff. So we've actually been lambing our Hampshires, the heavier breed, because we haven't got rid of them all yet. And so they've all been inside and in those little pens and with buckets and feed and, you know, taking hay and straw to them every single day, bedding them up, feeding them up and what have you. Whereas the other breeds, like Hebrideans, are another breed that we have actually had for a long time, which, as the name suggests, are from the Outer Hebrides. And they're used to the barren lands up there. They lamb outside, you know. They'll go down into the woodlands and then they'll pop out of the gorse with a lamb or two. And they can deal with that themselves. And so for mum going forward, to have breeds like that that are, you know, more useful and can fend for themselves better is better for her.
So how long are you going to be there for, do you know? Or you're in, or you're well, in for the, it's the long run now, you're in, are you?
Yeah, I mean, well, we're lambing at the moment. I mean, everybody's talking about lockdown lifting. For us, it's kind of no different, you know?
Yeah.
The only thing that's been let out are the chickens because of bird flu. You have to keep them in over the winter. So they're experiencing this kind of feeling of lockdown lifting, but that's the only difference for us.
You must have a local pub. Is there a local pub in a village nearby you can have a pint as well?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah, we'll head up
there.
Oh,
well, Matt, I sat down this weekend with my kids and I watched the first two episodes of your series. Am I right in saying there's four episodes? So we watched
four episodes.
We're halfway.
Yeah. And I'm pleased you watched it with the kids, because that was the whole thing. We wanted it to be a family thing because my children are in it too. And my dad, the only thing my dad was bothered about, he said, it's on too late. It's on at 9 o'clock. I want families to watch it.
So, yeah, it's definitely a family watch. My kids loved it. But what was interesting is because of where we live now, just outside London, I drag my kids into London all the time, show them the big bright lights and the theatre, you know what I mean? And yet they watch a show like yours and they go, Daddy, that's what we want to do. That's what my girls would. I said, would you swap life to live on a farm tomorrow? And they both went, tomorrow, without even thinking about it, they would have to do it. So your kids are living the dream, really.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, it's important for me that they get to have the choice, really. And, I mean, we're in a fortunate position where we can offer that. But I think, you know, with the way the future is and technology and all that, I don't shy away from them having any of that either. So you just give them what you can, don't you, as parents, I suppose.
Well, Matt, we love it. We absolutely love it. The series is brilliant. It's called Our Farm in the Dales. It continues with episode 3 of 4 this Wednesday, 9 p.m. on More4. But it's all available via Sky Q. Just say Our Farm in the Dales into Sky Q and Sky Q Remote. And it's all there. Matt, what an absolute pleasure speaking to you, buddy. Best of luck with everything and best of luck with the future, and we'll speak to you soon.
Brilliant.
Take care,
all
mate.
The best.
Cheers.
Bye all.
Bye,
mate. Bye.
Bye.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Fast cars, delicious wine, and the dulcet tones of our next guest. That's right, the Emilia Romagna Grand Prix is live and exclusive on Sky Sports F1 this weekend. And here to tell us more is a man with the style of Armani, the talent of Da Vinci, and the appetite of Pavarotti. It's Crofty!
Hey, Crofty, how are you?
I'm very good, Vass, very good. Morning, Vass, morning, Sam.
Morning, Crofty! Morning, mate!
Hasta la vista, as they say in Italy.
Well, I tell you what, Sam, Crofty and I have covered many, many sporting events together, and what Dapper Dave says about his appetite, it's true. But Crofty, I don't think we've ever been to Italy together. What are you like there?
Well, do you know what? It's pasta for first course, pasta for second course, and some sort of lasagna dessert will do me wonders.
And that's his breakfast. So I tell you what, Crofty, we hoped for an exciting start to the season, and by heck did we get one in Bahrain. For those people silly enough not to have seen the opening race of the 2021 Formula One season, just recap for us, could you?
Yeah, and there weren't many that missed it. Record viewing figures for Sky F1 for the first race of the season. Max Verstappen starting on pole, Lewis Hamilton alongside him, and the battle that we hope that is going to continue all season long happened for all 57 laps. It was nip and tuck before Hamilton got to the checkered flag first, and a very significant radio message to Pete Bonington, his engineer, at the end. I've still got it, Bono, said Lewis. Don't write off him or Mercedes just yet. It's going to be a cracker of a season.
So questions from Caroline, my wife Caroline, who is now the world's biggest Formula One fan, thanks to Drive to Survive. question number one, she says, please ask Crofty these. Why is it so hard, she says, to be Max Verstappen's teammate at Red Bull? Now, this may or may not have something to do with the fact that she has a bit of a thing for Pierre Gasly, who used to be.
Yes, bless him. But Pierre's done all right at AlphaTauri. Why is it so hard to be his teammate? Because he's really good. And it's as simple as that. When you're up against, in the same machine, one of the best drivers on the grid at the moment, you know you've got to perform to a greater standard week after week after week. And look, it didn't work for Pierre Gasly. It didn't work for Alex Albon. It might work for Sergio Perez, but he didn't get anywhere near to Max in qualifying. And it was only through a splendid drive in the race that he managed to come in the top five. Max Verstappen is the real deal. And if he was in the Mercedes, he'd probably be winning championships like Lewis has. But so far, the Red Bull hasn't been to the standard of the Mercedes car, but that might have turned around this year. And that's why this year is so exciting.
So the other question is Lewis Hamilton v. Max Verstappen v. anyone else you care to mention, say Alonso or Norris or Russell or Vettel in the same car. Who wins?
Listen, we'd all have to go down the pub with Caroline. We can sit in the beer garden now, so that's okay. But that's a pub debate, that one. Who wins? I don't know is the honest answer. And it's very difficult to compare. But, I don't know. I still think Lewis is shading the rest of the grid. purely and simply because of what he can do when his car isn't as good as the rest. But look at Fernando Alonso in Bahrain. That Alpine is driving like a Citroen rather than a high-classy French sports car. And he managed to put the car in ninth, and it was only a sandwich wrapper in his brake duct that stopped him getting in the points. So he absolutely outraced that one. And trust me, Citroen was about the nicest analogy I could give for that car.
So we're in Italy this weekend. Are you expecting, hoping for more of the same for Verstappen v Hamilton at the front, toe-to-toe, nothing between them?
Yeah, no, I am, to be honest. And my mind was cast back to two great races we had in Imola in 2005 and 2006, where in 2005, Fernando Alonso led Michael Schumacher and the pair jostled for lap after lap after lap. And the year later, it all switched around. It was Schumacher ahead of Alonso. It's difficult to overtake at this track, but you can follow closely. And you've got to have patience as a Formula One driver to wait for the opportunity to come, which it might if you look at the weather forecast, because there's a spot of rain around Imola on Sunday. We might get a wet race, and therefore it could be even more interesting. I'm expecting Hamilton and Verstappen to be right out there. As I say, the Red Bull's the better car. As the chief engineer for Red Bull walks into the room that I'm sat in at the moment and gives me a look there that says, "What are you talking about, Croft? You have no idea." God bless Pebbles.
Good timing, mate. Good timing.
That was good timing, yeah. I am expecting more of the same. Actually, come in, GP, come in. I'm on air with Virgin. Is Max going to win this weekend? I'll get a thumbs up from Max Verstappen's race engineer as he comes into the room that I'm sat. There you are. Max Verstappen for the race win, so says his race engineer. How about that for exclusive news?
So the Italian Grand Prix, the Emiliano-Romagna Grand Prix, second race of the season, Sunday, 12 noon, Sky Sports Formula One. It is only live once.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Thank you so much for listening to this, the podcast of the Virgin Radio Breakfast Show. Don't forget you can subscribe and get it every week from wherever you get your podcast, and you will never miss the weekly roundup of all the best bits from our Virgin Radio Breakfast Show with Sky.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.